Today's daf is daf Chof Gimel, but I wanted there were a number of issues that were raised on yesterday's daf that I wanted to address. Starting at the Mishnah, we have Moshe Baruch's question about why it is that the Hatzbiu is said on what appears to be between two people, and then later on we move on to Pius, is there some connection between the two? And we spoke out yesterday to Tosef Shishonim that because of this, he comes to talk about how it is that the Mumuna wouldn't know, because I mean, if you're picking a number, there's only two people, it's pretty clear who it is you start with, so therefore he tainas. We only tell him the number afterwards, and that way he doesn't really know who to start with to be able to be mechaving it. The truth is, Rashi avoids that whole problem by saying that once you don't have the race, then you go back to a bias of everybody. And so according to Rashi, what happens over here is that if you don't have a clear-cut winner, then everybody comes to be mechaving. So that the Hatzbiu is Hatzbiu lekulam, just as a normal bias would be Hatzbiu lekulam. That's important to remember, because I read the Mishnah because of the Pshuta, I read the Mishnah like the Tosfos Shishani. But Lamaisa, because on the strength of that problem, probably, is really the reason that Rashi came out that way. The other question that was raised was the shaila of Sheina Noikim and Noita Kenocha, Sheina Tamatach. So we came out, we ended up the Nakat Leib Libe, that he himself doesn't do anything in terms of his Noikim and Noita Kenocha. What's more is that the Sugya seems to have been pressed into accepting an Afkamina La Halacha between Nakima and the Tiran Divrei Mominis, which is Aser, something that has to do with your possessions. Whereas when it comes to the way you feel about things, you do have a right to be Noikim and Noita. It's very, very strange because it's not Muska La Halacha. Certainly in the Rambam, in the Chinuch, we don't see that the Mishnah, that the mitzvah is expressed as relating only to elements of property. Yeah, but it doesn't limit it to Rambam. And the strength of that, the Chofetz Chaim says that it turns out to be, therefore, a suffix d'oraisa. Since there are those, Rishonim, that hold that it applies across the board, and others that hold that it applies only to Mom. And so you have to be machmir on Nekim v'Netira on all things.
Yes or not.
To not. Now, the other problem that Aaron raised, terrible people aren't here, is why don't we just make the nafkamina of Nekim v'Netira, since the Rambam learns that indeed, he paskins kipshutai, that a Talmud Chacham needs to be Nekim v'Netira kenochash, when somebody insulted him publicly. So why does the Gemara simply make that the distinction? That word involves the overall Kavod HaTorah, so then you're supposed to be Noikim and Noikim Kenachash. In all other cases, and then there's these other inyonim of the Mephias, Le'im Mephias, going back to Ne'lovim, Ve'ramolvim, and so on and so forth, which would be the simplest explanation. It's very interesting that there, I found a Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, who writes that indeed his father's Girsa Nesugya was the opposite. There was no nafkamina between Moment and other things, which explains why he doesn't make that nafkamina, and which was that the Gemara ended up saying that one is talking about b'mila d'alma, one is talking about b'mila d'oraita. What is nogea the problems of Kavod HaTorah, and not as they're associated with him personally, and the other is a general thing. There's also Ritva that apparently makes the same distinction in the circuit. The other question that we had, which that I promised yesterday that we'd be relating to, was the question of the one finger, the two finger. If Lamaisa were telling you that you could put out two fingers, which appears to be, by definition, an increase in his chances of winning, which was pointed out by David and by Scott yesterday. So then we'd have to learn, if that's the case, I must tell you that it's very difficult to work out mathematically because it's a reiteration. It's not random. Whatever changes you make are reinserted back into the formula because the next time around, they'll count those two fingers. I spoke with a professor of mathematics to try to work out a formula to determine whether the end result is in fact better, and he was having a hard time working it out. It promised me we'd think about it, but it's not so much. But in any event, kipshutei, I mean, it certainly strikes you that on the surface, you're putting out two fingers, you're going to get more chances, and that it's not going to equal out whatever changes are created by the fact that they counted you a number of times also to get there. So, and in any event, it's a strange thing. And I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara is going to end up making a distinction between well people and sick people, between lechatchila and son, and that's where we start today. So we're up to umahein motziin achat oshtai. Yeah. But Rashi says that when it says you hatzbiu, it means everybody together now. Forget about the race. The results are not conclusive, therefore we don't use the race at all. That's how Rashi went wrong. And that way he avoids the problems that the Tosfos Shishonim come through. So Mahi Motzi Nachatoshta asks the Gemara to talk about your question and everything. If you're able to put out two fingers, I mean, so what's the chiddush of one? The only complications come of two, either because of the change in the possibility of your being selected, or because of the fact that you, according to Rashi at least, that you may be able to fool around over here and they'll count it as two. You know, if you see the people coming around, you could change the count. I mean, certainly one is the norm, isn't it? I mean, if it says everybody everybody puts out a finger. You put out a finger. I don't have to tell you that you can put out one. Om Rav Chisun, that's the point. Well, gosh, the Gemara is saying that the standard indeed should be one. And Kan Bibari, the Achat means a normal person puts out one. A person who is ill and has a difficult time controlling the other finger when he sticks out one. Boy, Kohanim that have that problem, we're going to have a real problem with the Birkas Kohanim. Huh? So
no,
it's just very difficult. It's not that it can't be done. So we give him now this dispensation that he can put out now two fingers also. V'atanyan, indeed, it says beferush the bright exactly that. Achat motzin, shtayimei motzin. That you're not lechatchila supposed to put out two fingers. Mameh devarim amurim bibori. But that's only a person who is well. Avavachola afilu shtayim motzin. Someone who is ill could put out two. Vayichidim motzin shtayim. Yichidim is a number of different Jerushim. Rashi learns that yichidim means if you have cholim that are sitting on the side, not mixed with the other kohanim, because they're ill, they don't want anybody else to get sick, they're sitting on the side. So over there, even though they would be able to control their ability to have one or two, they don't have to, because since we see them easily, we're only going to count them as one. Nobody's going to make the mistake, because they're not part of the crowd.
Should they be there? Can you be there?
If, yes, because the Gemara gives standards for how ill you would be not to do avodah, which you're trembling, you're unable to, you know, to hold it. Like a surgeon. You know. What if he infects you? I mean, the important thing is, others have an interesting girsa, hayehirim, stuck up no good mix, who wouldn't find themselves with everybody else in the plebeians. The Bach learns yechidim is always a way of referring to Talmid HaChomim. Hayechidim, we find the tainus again, yechidim. So in other words, those who aren't mixed with the crowd, again, according to Rashi, it would mean because we're not going to be toa to count it as more than once. L'maisa in monin lahem ela achat. We'll only count the two fingers as one. Yes, the Gemara, in monin lahem ela achat, is that true? V'atanya, in motzin lo shlish v'lo agudal v'pnei haramaim. You can't stick out your index finger, your middle finger, your third finger, according to this gerusa. We'll see, Raman has a different gerusa in this whole thing. And you can't stick out a thumb, v'pnei haramaim, because it's too easy to play games with making it, again, Rashi's shot, to look like two people, because you can distance the fingers from each other, and when they can't see everything in the crowd, they may count it as two to make it, and that way you know where it's coming, where the count is coming, you see that, oh God, I'm just one off, and I'll get them to count my next finger, and it'll land on my next finger. So then, it says you can't, but... if he sticks out now his third finger, so then we will count it for him. But Godal, if he sticks out a thumb in Monimlo, we don't count him at all, is what it turns out to mean. But it's not counted. We'll see in the end that it means that we will count it for one, but then God won't count it at all. We'll throw him out of the count. V'lo od, not only that, he's in big trouble. And l'shaloka minamumuneh b'pakia. He gets the pakia over his head. There was a guy who was mumuneh to take care of Kohanim who were misbehaving. But we'll see what that is. I can't remember, the kind of whips that make that sound when you... Is that what it is, the bullwhip? So it's it cracks, it has a slit at the edge, right? So that's what it turns out that the pakia is. They use some pretty tough weapons over there. In any event, so it does say over here that im hotzi shalish monim lo. Answers to the Gemara, no. My monim lo means acha. The gudol is not, he's not even counted, b'chlal. Tries playing shtick like that, we won't count him. Throw him out of the count. But when it comes to the shlish, okay, that isn't as bad because it's not as ramaut like, and therefore we'll count it, meaning we'll count all of his fingers as one. Now, obviously the Rambam couldn't have had this because he paskins in every way differently. First of all, he doesn't talk about shlish. There's no problem with the third finger. He talks about shalosh. So he had a gears of shalosh, not shalish. That's obvious. Furthermore, he paskins that we count the number of fingers that you hold out, not ein monin lo ela achat. He couldn't have had that either. So the gears in the Rambam and Mefarshim say is my ein monin lo ela achat ba'agudal. On his thumb, we won't count the thumb for an extra count. But the number of fingers, we will count the number of fingers. Indeed, that is what is allowing us to do this count. Because if there's always going to be a one-to-one correlation between the fingers and the people, then we're basically counting people. And that's the thing you said we're not allowed to do. I mean, that's just a joke. You're saying, well, I'm not counting him, I'm counting his brain. I mean, what? Yeah, exactly. So the truth is that there are some who say that maybe counting begadim is not counting people, whereas counting the evorim of a person would certainly be called counting. It's a whole discussion about the sugyas, so why don't you count begadim? But again, it's so my pekia. By the way, what is the meaning of the word pekia? Omarav, it means a madra. My madra, omar of four, but it's a madrika the tie. It's like a horseman's whip. The pasik resha that has the top split, what we call a bull whip, and that's what they use. So pekia would mean the split. To be makia, something is split in the two. So if you would have a split top, of course, the Brits had it better. It had a nine tails. I mean, that's the ultimate slit, just in case you're a cat and want to get all of them. So omar of papa madrika the tie. You know what I used to think? Boy, was I naive. The Tosefta in the Brit over here lists other names we never in the Mishnah, that Ben Bivai, he was the guy in charge of the Pekia. And I thought that Pekia meant that he was the one who was in charge of making the Petilot. Petilot for the menorah, for the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, Kiditznan, Mivaloi, Michlisei HaKohanim, Umehamaynehen, Mehem Hayu Mafkiin, Ubehen Hayu Madli. I thought there was a reference too that says that the material once got worn out of their pants of the Kohanim and of the belts, so they would pull apart the threads, mafki'in, and they would make those into the wicks. I thought that's what my nice sweet self. I thought ala pakia means on the splitting, meaning the splitting of the threads. But kima the shaman ala the tanya, after I heard this brayta that says v'lo od ela shaloka min hamimuneh, the pakia, I understood that there is a mumuneh on a pekiah, and that pekiah is not a word for pekiah. Therefore, amina my pekiah nagda. Now, pekiah is a place in Barnea's neighborhood, as you know. But the question is, how does it relate to whips and bullwhips? That's the shame. But indeed, it may relate to hadlaka, right? It certainly has to do with light. Okay. I think there are rumors about ancient usages in the place in the city of Kien, but if our neighborhood guide doesn't know, I'm not going to open my mouth. So it was a story in which two Kohanim were going neck to neck, and one of them pushes the other one and breaks his leg. I mean, this was gentle, man. One of them is getting close to the other one. He takes out a knife, boom, and throws it right into his heart. Bitzadok gets up, stands right in front of the Heichal. Everybody should hear. Israel Shimu, Areyu Omer Ki Yimatzei Chalal Ba'Adama V'Yatzuzik Einecha V'Shoftecha. This was all of note again, the multi-leveled construction of the Gemara, because we just came off of Egla Rufa, the story of Shoal that read. Okay, so he said, what are we supposed to do? How do we bring the Egla Rufa here? Should we look at the Azorais? Should we look at Yerushalayim? We've come down to a level that's what we got to worry about people murdered in the Azora. So who, we'll talk about it. Ala Iru Ala Azorot, Go Kalam B'Vchi, everybody started to cry. Meanwhile, Ba'a Viv Shaltino. Meanwhile, the boy's father comes, and he finds that he is still now is in English. Yeah, twitching. He's death throes, exactly. He's still in. So he didn't have a din of a mate yet. So the father says to everybody, "Arehi kaparatchem." His death should be a kapora on you all. Vadayin benim mefarfer. He's still moving, and therefore the sakin is not tummy. V'lo nitma sakin. So don't get hysterical.
This is what he's thinking about.
Which teaches you. This is the kind of situation that we had before the. Please. Yeah. This is the kind of situation we had before the Churban. It was more important to them whether the knife was tummy than that his own kid was killed. He obviously was planning. How many people were in the race? There's only one guy getting close. V'cheino omer, and we see that this was the situation by the Zman of the Churban Rishon as well. It says, V'gam dam naki shafach min asher arbei ma'od ad asher milei Yerushalayim pelepe. Now, I mean, this is a little bit strange, because the Mishnah talks about somebody breaking a leg, that's why they made the pies. I mean, this seems to be an awful lot more intense than breaking a leg. So, which event happened first? I mean, if the murder happened first, does it make sense? If on the murder, so there they didn't make a pious. So anishbar raglo takino, when a guy breaks a leg, then they do make a pious. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That no, actually, first the guy broke the leg, and then they made the pious. Well, if they made the pious, what was this race all about? So then, you keep in the takino pious, where did they ever get to a situation where they were raising? You're right. It's got to be that the murder came complaint first. But that was the whole point, that a murder is mad. And they didn't view the murder as something you have to make a pious one. Man, this is crazy, something like this. Certainly not going to say, if it happened once, it'll happen again. So therefore, they didn't think they needed to react to it. Mikorasavar akroi bialma, well, they thought it was just a strange event, out of the norm. But kivan dechozu afilam emela to this. They saw that people are pushing each other. That's already standard. I mean, once people start pushing, and a guy breaks his leg, I mean, that's going to happen every day. Then they realize this is just not a good idea. So then, takino rabbon and pais. Now let's examine the details of the story. Amad Rabbi Tzadok ma'alota ulam v'amar, achenu beit Yisrael shimu, hareyu omer ki imatzei chalal ba'adama, anan almi la'avi, alayir ala'azarot. What is he talking about? Yerushalayim? Barat tuya egla arufa? He knows perfectly well Yerushalayim doesn't bring an egla arufa. Now, of course, it's really dependent on the machlok that we had earlier, whether Yerushalayim was nitchal kalashvatim or not nitchal kalashvatim. We could have said, well, maybe he holds like the man the armor nitchal kalashvatim. So says Tosis, but it wouldn't have helped anyway, because there's so many other nonsensical parts of this. I mean, egla arufa means when you don't know who murdered the guy, you do know who murdered the guy. The whole thing is just bears no relationship to reality. So we're not going to start thinking, does he mean that really it's chayev? Not to mention the fact that it could be bechlal on azarot. You don't bring azarot, there's not an ear. Why would I bring on the azarot? It says ha'ir ha'krova. Not to mention that it says basadeh. You know, here it's in the middle of the city. There are some, by the way, who are medayik from the sugya. The sugya doesn't ask that. That if you find someone murdered in a city, that there's also a chiyuv of bringing a glaru. Why doesn't the sugya mention it? Many are doche that, but it's an interesting question. What is the extent of public responsibility for that type of situation as well? I mean, everybody's around. I mean, what, you know, is that the bezdin's responsibility?
That
could be also. But I mean, that's part of the issue that Rabbi Tzadik is trying to make a point. He's not trying to be halachically accurate. But first, the Gemara just asks. I mean, they thought he meant it seriously. Tanya, Asarad Varim Nem Rubi Yerushalayim. One of them being the Zuachat Miem Ena Maybe Egla Rufa. Not to mention the fact about Lo No Dami Ikaokti. But for heaven's sakes, says Ki Matzei Chalal Ba Adama Lo No Dami Ikao. And over here, obviously, Ha No Dami Ikao. Everybody was witness to the murder. Ela Kedela Harbot Bifia. He was just trying to get people to see what state they've reached. He didn't mean literally that somebody's going to bring an egg on a roof, obviously. Now, the next thing he said was, Now, let me ask you, there's two ways of understanding that story. I mean, one way of understanding that story is that all of these people were great tzaddikim. This was an insane event. They had exactly the same feelings and aversion to shvichut damim as you and I have, but they had this tremendous madrega that they were also machmir on Tyrus Kalim to such an extent that it even overshadowed it. They were tremendous machmir. Or we could look at it as, they held the same way about Tyrus Kalim as you and I do, and they just didn't care about murder. I mean, one would think that those were very different stories. So how do we look at it? Shvichut damim hu dezal aval taret kilim ki dekaima kaima? Or dim shvichut damim was actually at the normal level of concerns ki dekaima kaima aval taret kilim hi dechamira. What was a tremendous chumra? You see from this Gemara, a fantastic thing. Because the Gemara doesn't say that isn't the whole context of this story to bring out the horrific situation that we're in, l'lam d'chashecha. I mean, we're certainly not looking to say, and this is a great madrega. It violates the entire context of the sugya, right? Nobody's trying to say it's a great madrega. So what are you asking me? Maybe it's a great madrega. The point is, the Gemara's making an unbelievable one, is that it doesn't matter whether this comes from the tremendous chumra of Tyrus Halim, or whether it comes from the tremendous zilzal of murder. It boils down to the same thing. Because values are only meaningful in a system. And if the system is askew, it doesn't help for you to say, I care just about, as much about Ben Adam L'Chavero as you do, except I'm very, very machmir on eating glatt kosher. That itself means that you have a screwed up system of values. It doesn't matter whether you're saying, but I have the same sensitivity as everybody else does. The very fact that something that should be worth less is worth more means that your value is not a value. It's completely out of context. The system is screwed. If you take a look, right, it's weighed wrongly. If you take a look, first of all, everybody recognizes this very interesting thing in axiology, which is the study of values, part of philosophy, is that values exist within systems. What's a system of values? We don't ask what your value is. Why is that? Because everyone recognizes that there's no such thing as an objective description. Where's your referent? If there's no referent, how can you talk about what the value is? Say, very valuable. Thank you. What does that mean? As valuable as what? Show me what. There's no external objective reference to value. But the amazing thing is that the word for value and the word for system in Hebrew is identical. A ma'arechet is an erech, which is astounding. It means the nature of value is its insight into your system. And it's always, each value is an expression of the system. Therefore, the Gemara is bringing out, from the nature of the event, there's no way to determine. If I tell you this story, and I tell you these people were really seriously screwed up, you still will not be able to know whether they were screwed up because they were exceedingly frum, or they were screwed up because they were exceedingly not frum. It's exactly the same thing. That's an astonishing thing. No, no. The father was one of them. Because otherwise,
don't worry. The sakin is still.
I mean, look, it's possible to learn that way, but there's no. It's asserting something about the sugya that it isn't necessarily there. You know, I mean, it makes it more powerful, but it isn't necessarily there. But it would certainly be a beautiful thing for the father to say if he had his head, you know, if he had the headspace to say it. But yeah, you know, but don't worry, the sakin's okay. It's a very nice shot. But I didn't see anybody like even suggested such a thing. But it's a nice shot. That rabbi,
yeah. Because there can only be one highest value.
That is the same thing. Same to could.
Without digressing into a philosophical question, there is an objective value. Yeah, but there is an objective value.
What is that?
Don't we divide?
No, do we?
No. We all have.
You're saying we might have a source to create an objective value system in the Torah, is what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that because we have a subjectivity with regard to value, there has to be something on which that subjectivity is based. There's an objectivity that we base our subjectivity on.
Yeah, and what is that? Okay, fine. So I'm saying. But in point of fact, the relationship to Torah is tremendously open to interpretation. Right? So you're, you know, not only that, but it's open to human perversion, in which, you know, people don't see themselves. What's worse, and this is where the real problem comes, is that Torah is not recognized as being a system. It's viewed as a list of unrelated details, which allows you to put each thing in whatever place you want, which means that, for all intents and purposes, it isn't even Torah at that point, because it's just, you use it for whatever you like. That's the real problem.
Children are, says that, you know, everyone just basically finds it in whatever priority they have. Says when he once practically heard that he can get that, he said it's read that eyes will come together and allows you to then, which whenever you, any time you people, what is
going to happen? Yeah, okay, same idea. Okay, well, look, we have to continue. Answers the Gemara, but there is an indication. The Gemara is giving us an indication as to which way it went. Why bring in that pasuk? Why is that relevant? I mean, it was a pasuk that referred to 500 years before. I mean, why are we bringing it? Clearly, to point out that the problem was in terms of the extent of shefichut damim. So that means that it was shefichut damim u'dizal b'taharat kelim k'dikayim makayim. Turn around. Now let's go to the details of the deshem avayit. We talked about the trumas hadeshem, but the fact is that immediately after the trumas hadeshem, after it says v'hirim et hadeshem, then it goes on to say that u'pashat begadav. So that's something else. The Kohen takes off his begadim, puts on another begadim, and now removes the deshen from not the formal and symbolic shovelful, but actually takes out the tons of deshen, removing it from the azara. That's called hotzaat hadeshen, not to be confused with the trumat hadeshen. Now, reading this pasuk, u'pashat v'lavash begadim acherim, doesn't that sound familiar? Oh, it sounds just like Yom Kippur. Now, what an amazing coincidence that this whole Perek, which is all talking about this idea. There's even a question whether it even applies to Yom Kippur, the pious, and so on and so forth. And here it uses exactly the same words. Therefore, Shomani Kederach Yom Kippurim. I would have thought, reading this pasuk, that actually the pasuk is referring to exactly what it means when it says that on Yom Kippur. Now, what it means when it says that on Yom Kippur is that you take off the set of eight begadim and put on the set of four begadim, and then other times you take off the four begadim and put on the eight begadim. But it means a completely different halach of begadim. One big dick on head. You're one big day Kohen Gadol. Now, obviously, for the Trumas Hadeshen, it can't mean that. I mean, no, you can't say a Kohen Hedge is supposed to put on Begadim Achirim. But what it would mean then, in context, would be, okay, one step lower. One step lower would be Big Day Chulin. In other words, take off your Big Day Kodesh. That's like telling the Kohen Gadol, take off your eight Begadim, and put on your Begadim of Edim. You would be putting on your Begadim of Chol. So maybe you should actually not be wearing Big Day Kohuna. Sheposhet Big Day Kodesh Velovesh Big Day Chol. Tamud Lomar Upashatit Begadav Velovash Begadim. I mean, obviously, it's makish begadim shalovesh lebegadim shaposhet. It's comparing them in essence. That's part of the same set. Mala halan big day kodesh, afkan big day kodesh. Imkein ma tamud lomar acherim. Why then does it say other if it doesn't mean truly other? Ah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. But that's coming to. I'm sorry. That's acherim comes to tell me pechuti mehem, less valuable begadim. We'll see what the meaning of that is in a moment. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. The way to read it is acherim votziat hadeshen, meaning others. Kohanim that could not normally do Avodah and would not be kosher, maybe for the Trumat Adeshen, can be Motziat Adeshen. Limeid al Kohanim ba'alei mumim shekshirim lohotzi et Adeshen. No, it could mean less, but the Acherim, in the sense of being truly different, is a remiss of the Kohanim. Omar Mar, Acherim pechutim mehem. What does that mean, less valuable begotim? I mean, either yes or no. I mean, are there, you know, we're going to start now analyzing a better Big Dehuna, a lesser Big Dehuna. There's three types of begotim, Big Dehol, or four types if you hold it, the Big Dehlovin or not the Big Dehkoin had yoga. There's no, like, better and worse, is there? There is indeed. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, this is a limud, basically, of their Acheret. Begadim should be shel ben k'deira l'rabba, l'im zo ben kosel l'rabba. It's inappropriate for the kitchen staff to be wearing what the butler is wearing, or what the waiter is wearing. The kitchen staff is being osik in cooking, and therefore for them to come out in their cooking clothes and serve is inappropriate. Same too here in the Beit HaMikdash. People are going to be dealing with ashes, hanging ashes up, and so on. They're going to be all dirty, and they should be wearing the same clothes that are chashav to be mishamish l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore they should put on lower quality clothes. That's all that it means. They shouldn't be on the same level of the chashav avoda that the others do. Resh Lakish says, I want to make one thing very clear. When we have this machloket between Rebbe Eliezer here, and who says that even a kohen bal mum can go ahead and can be lovesh in the Tanakhama, that's not only about hotza'ah. It's also about the trumat adeshen. And kishem shemachloket hotza'ah, kach machloket baharama. If Rebbe Eliezer is willing to accept for hotza'at adeshen a kohen bal mum, he would accept it for haramat adeshen as well. He did not mean to contrast the hotza'ah with the harama. He meant to contrast harama hotza'ah as one type of thing, meaning deshen work with other work. That's the point. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, absolutely not. Machloket hotza'ah? The only machloket here is when you're talking about dealing with taking out all of the ash. Harama? Trumat adeshen is an avoda. There's not even a habanina that a kohen bal mum would be kosher avoda. My time at Reish Lakish, why does Reish Lakish say that if you're ready to be matir a kohen bal mum for the avodat hotza'ah, you would say the same thing? I'm sorry. My time at Reish Lakish, who says that it's exactly the same thing. If you're ready to be matir kohen bal mum for hotza'ah, you would say it for two for harama. Because Amar Lecha, he says to you, how can Rabbi Yochanan entertain a notion that haramat adeshen is an avod? If Yizag Dev Avodahi, can we listen to the pasuk? V'lavasha kohen midovad umich desevad yovasha b'sarol. Again, it sounds very evocative, but it stops there. You know, that's two kelim, tonet and michlasayim. What happened to everything else? Apparently, he doesn't need to wear anything else. Now you're going to tell me it's an avoda, and he's only wearing two begadim. A kohen is only wearing two begadim as a zar. So how could you possibly think that? I understand even what you're having meaning. Yizag Dev Avodahi yesh avodash k'sherab b'shnei kelim. Says Rabbi Yochanan, would you think the Torah means you should only put on a michlasayim and a ktonet? Obviously, Goli Rachmana Bektonet Bechlasayim. The Torah has to list now all the begotim again. It's telling you, put it in, and any fool knows that means. And of course, the rest of your Big Day Kuna. Why then did the Torah mention? Of course, it means the Mitznevet Vadneh. What was the point of mentioning Bechlal, the Michnasayim, and the Ketonet? Maishnahani. They're coming here to tell me very important halachas. Mido Bad means Kemidato. That it's Ma'akev the Big Day Kuna if they don't fit him. So they have to fit properly. And the din of the Michnasay Bad, why is that being said over here? To teach me. How do we know that the first of the begotim that the Kohen has to wear are the michnasayim? Shnemar michnasay bad yubash al bisaro. Bisaro is usually the context of nakedness. It's his raw flesh. So it's in the raw, as we would say. So his bisaro should be covered by his michnasayim. Not that he should be wearing his ketonet before putting on the michnasayim. So the derek, therefore, of the correct levishas habegotim is michnasayim first. That's the reason it mentions it. But obviously it doesn't mention to tell me only this and nothing else. Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says anyway. Look, for that, I don't need to say that the pasuk is coming for that. The word mido means kemidato. But now you still have to ask yourself, why does it say yilbash kemidato? So midafke rachmana baloshan mido. If I call the ketonet mido, it has a double meaning. I'm sensitive to that double entendre. I mean, obviously, if we're calling it that, it means the thing that fits him properly. That's what the ketonet is. And as far as shoyei davakadam lifnasai, that I know from the words al bisaro. But why do I have to talk about a levisha? Apparently, this was the extent of the levisha. Says the Gemara, you know, this machlokis, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, seems to be precisely a machlokas tanoim. Name a ketanoim, shall we say indeed, that they're arguing, re-arguing an ancient machlokas. It says like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, al bisaro. Why does the Torah say yilbash al bisaro? What's the lashon of levisha? If it started with levisha, v'lavash ha-kohen midobad, umich nesayim, and that's all you I need to say? Why do you have to say umichlis ebad yilvash again? I mean, we're talking about v'lavash. I'm giving you a list of things to be lovesh. Matam alomri yilvash again lahavim its nefet vavneit laharama. Oh, give a review there. The extra yilvash is to imply, just as I said two begadim in lavash, yilvash another two begadim. What are the other two begadim? The missing two begadim, the mitznefet and the avnet. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you need to have the mitznefet vavneit laharama. Rabbi Dos on there. No. That's not why it says yilvash. It says yilvash to tell me that you could even be lovesh the begadim that a Kohen Gadol was wearing on Yom Kippur, despite the, it's amazing the extent of the interrelationship of the two sugyos. So this, and I mean, again, let's point out, the very fact that there is both an avoda and garbage being done with exactly the same thing is the whole nature of Yom Kippur. I'm taking one sawyer and it's avoda, and the other sawyer I'm dumping, basically, just letting out the deshen. There's something here that relates to the nature of this dualism in Yom Kippur. But anyway, so what it means over here is that a Kohen Gadol, it says, v'inichum sham. Remember, we had this machlokas earlier, we're going to review it today, that you're not allowed to take those begadim out with you. So according to one Mad Yomer, it means that's it, they can't be used again. But according to Rabbi Dosa Lishitato, as we saw earlier, v'nichum sham simply means that each Yom HaKippurim is a singular event and they can never be used again for another Yom Kippur. That's something that can't be used. So here is where the Torah is telling you, when I said v'nichum sham, leave them there, I didn't mean leave them there for eternity. I meant in respect to Yom HaKippurim, leave them there. But I mean, if you want to use them for Trumat Adesh and some crazy things, so then that's fine. Meaning, in other words, that they're still kosher for a big day Kohen Gadol. So that's the Rabot Big Day Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim Shekcherim LeKohen Gadol. To which Rebbe responded, we already know Rebbe's response, Techtei Tshuvot B'davar. I mean, that's impossible. First of all, how in the world could you use the Avnet that was used by Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which was made out of pure linen, and apply that to a Kohen Gadol in the course of the year when, and of course this is Rebbe's Shita, when it is my Shita, that actually the Avnet of a Kohen Gadol during the year was not the same as the Kohen Gadol's Avnet on Yom HaKippurim, but rather was the same as the Kohen Gadol's Avnet every day. That is to say, it was made out of Kilayim. So it had Tcheles V'Argaman V'Talat Shani V'Shesh, and therefore there's no way that a Kohen Gadol could be wearing a pure linen Avnet and it would be kosher. It wouldn't be kosher. So how could you possibly learn that Yilbash means take the Kohen Gadol's Avnet and what good will it do you? It's not kosher. It's a unique set of begadim. That's Tshuva number one. Tshuva number two is, V'od, does it really make sense to you that being a begadim shenishtamash tabem kedusha chamura tishtamesh bem kedusha kala? These begadim were used for the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, and now you're telling me use them for dumping. I mean, isn't that the whole point over here? I mean, we just got finished learning this beautiful limud, Rabbi Yishmael. You shouldn't use the same begadim. So you're going to take the holy of holy begadim, and you're going to say, yeah, when that means it's kosher, use that just during the year, for whatever you're doing. That's unreasonable. Unless, of course, it relates to this rather strange dualism, which is all part of our story. A dualism that's reflected in the death of Nadav Avihu, and the fact that the same day was the happiest day in history, and the saddest day, so on and so forth. All of these things, again, go all the way back to the Parah Duma, reflects the same dualism. It goes all the way back to the deaths of Nadav Avihu, the which is where we started the whole limud, which is the milui. No, the dualism is that is what the Gemara said. It doesn't make any sense. It's entire time. So again, it has within it the same contradictions about the human condition. Okay, so meanwhile we have this machlok. So matan lomer yilbash. Therefore, says Rebbe, I'll tell you why it says yilbash. Yilbash doesn't come to tell me any of these other things. Yilbash comes to tell me lerabot et hashechakim. So then you can use even begadim. They're kosher for all avoda. Begadim that are worn out, as long as they're not actually torn or dirty.
Is this what we meant by earlier when we said that?
No, we're getting there. No, it's not what we meant. Chutin, I'm sorry. No. Chutin, lower quality. Worse quality linen and so on. V'nichum sham. Now, this leads directly to the Bachloket that we know what all this is based on. Because it says that after the Kohen Gadol does his avodah, bo haron al holmoid, pashat esbik de abada shel avash, v'nichum sham. You have to leave them there. That's the Bachloket. Tanakama says, malamish tunim gniza. They have to be left there forever. Rabbi Dos says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means they can't be used for Yom Kippur, but uyimim the Kohen het yod umatam alam revinichum sham. So why then say leave them there? Meaning in respect to Yom Kippurim, lo yishtamish bem Yom Kippurim acher. So now let me ask you, what was the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa about whether Yilbash adds mitznevet vavneit or whether Yilbash comes to tell me something else? Isn't it exactly this machlokus? My lab bakom neflake mar sabar avodahi. So Rabbi Yehuda saying, look, Yilbash means you have to be wearing all four begadim. Why? Because he holds that shumat adeshin is an avoda. So even though it only says two, it uses the word yilbash to tell me, no, of course I mean four, because you can't can't do an Aveda with only two begonim. Whereas Mar Savar, Lav Avodahi, no. The Torah doesn't demand that you wear four begonim because, in fact, a Trumas HaDeshen is not an Aveda. Therefore, why would you need four begonim? And that's exactly the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right here. According to Reish Lakish, it's not an Aveda. Vaharaya, you only wear two begonim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, obviously, if it's a two begonim, it's all the begonim and only mentions those two because there's certainly modem from it. Sounds like exactly the same Machlokas. So the Gemara, no, not necessarily. We could certainly say, look, Kuliyama Avodai. It's very possible everybody would agree with Rabbi Yochanan just from learning this, and it is an Avoda. The only Machlokas over here is whether they go all the way like Rabbi Yochanan. V'achem v'achem, if the Gemara says a tzricha krol, remember, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say you need a pasuk necessarily to Gemara. He says the pasuk was Begala, the Mikneh Sevad, and the Midobad, and you're supposed to figure out the rest on your own. Whereas over here, maybe there's a tzat to know you need an extra pasuk, Yilbash. So Marsova, you need a pasuk. The Marsova, lo tzricha krol, ribuy. The Machlokas is how to understand the relationship between the Trumat HaDesh and other Avoda, whether you would actually need a pasuk of ribuy, or whether you would just learn it out from a mamatzino. But as far as the din is concerned, it's very possible everybody agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Trumat HaDesh being an Aveda, which we saw earlier, Shekvar Kidesh B'tchila La'avoda, and so Memela, there's no reason to say anybody would agree with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is really saying tremendous Kiddush. Because remember, he's not only saying that Trumat HaDesh is not an Aveda, he's saying a weird Kiddush, that the Torah requires certain things to be done with two begonim. Really, what? I mean, so what would that mean? You're neither a Kohen Hedget, nor you're, I mean, what is that? In fact, Tosis is bothered by this. He said, why did the Gemara ask? When Reish Lakish says, and is there such a thing as an Aveda that is kosher with two begonim, you're going to turn around and say, and there's such a thing as something that requires two begonim. There's no such thing. He says, maybe the fact that, look, the Torah doesn't say you can't wear all your four begonim means that it's not that abnormal. Doesn't mean you have to only wear two begonim. But, I mean, you understand. This is definitely problematic. Bezrat Hashem. Umayin motin achat oshtayim. If you can put out two, you can certainly put out one. On Rav Kislo Kashi, kan bebori, kan befolad. V'atanya, indeed, we learned achat motzin, but shtayim ein motzin. Bame, devorim amurim bebori, ave befolad, afilu shtayim motzin. V'ayechidim motzin, shtayim ve'imonim lahem ela achas. What? Imonim lahem ela achas? But v'atanya ein motzin lo shalish, lo shalosh, v'lo agodal, mipnei haramaim. Remember, there were two pshatim, Rambam and Rashi. V'im hotzi shalish monim lo. Here it says, you do counted for two. And a good in monim lo. V'lo'od ela shaloke min amumaneve tekiya. Very strange remes to godo in monim lo. There'll always be a number missing. But he's loke min amumaneve tekiya. My monim lo nami achat. What it means over here is we're mona or not mona entirely. Not whether we're mona it as one or two. My pekiya. Omarav madra. My madra? Omarav papa. Matra katatai de pasikration. Omarabai. Miresh hava mina haditan ben bivoy mumuna la tekiya. Ah, little old mia mina patilta. Yatam mi valoy mekosea kohanim. Ume amnehem. Meena yumafkihin. Veena yumadlikin. You can even hear the music and the violins in the background. Vekima de shamana la haditani velo od. Ela shaloka mina mumuna bepekiya. Crash! Amina my pekiya nagna. Maasesha yushneim shavim vratsi velo mekabish. Tanarabana. Go kolam b'vchia. Ba'aviv shotinok mitzaol shu mefarfer. Amar rei hu kaparatchem. Vadayim bni mefarfer v'lo b'nitma sakin. L'olam d'cha shekashe alayim tarat kilim. Yoter mishvukot damim. V'chein hu amer v'gam dam naki shafak min asher hrbe mo'od. Hara shemilei et Yerushalayim pe lepe. Now, Arbay Sikod, imilem shvukot damim. Asher shvukot damim lo takinu paisa. And a nishbur raglo takinu. Ela de nishbur raglo kodim. So then, kiva takinu paisa. So how did he get to within Arba Amas? Why have you It's just that Mikorasavar was an Akroi Bialma. But given the Fazra Filam Mela to the De Sakana, Takina Rabban and Paisa. Now let me ask you something. Amadre Bitsadaka Mahalot, Ulama Marachina Betisoshima, Rehon Kimatsechalabadama, Anana Mila, Viala Yerala Zarod. What's going on over here? You were Shalayim Bata to Yegla Rufai. Atanya Sarad Varim Nam Ruby Rushalayim. Vizor Khatmiya. Eina Mevia Egla Rufa. The Ode, Lo Noda Mi'iko Oktiv, Vaha Noda Mi'iko. By the way, I must tell you, there's another Nekuda in this Gemara, which is very interesting in terms of human relationships. You often find that people are willing to say things that don't make any sense for their emotional impact.
For their emotional
impact. And generally, we view that as being simply maudlin. It's not being an idiot. If Rapsodic could say this and feel that it would move people, despite the fact that people there must have been thinking, well, what the heck is he talking about? Now, in other words, it means that the correct procedure is that in a moment of trauma like this, to forget about analyzing the details and so on, and recognize the overall context of a comment and take the comment as it's meant and not being picky about it. This is interesting, because I certainly would never have said anything like this. I would have figured everybody's sitting, oh, come on, man. Okay. The odd, lo nadami ukagtiv, no dami ukagtiv. That's a correct response. Ela kedei laharbot bevechiyah. Anyway, ba'aviv shaltidok, next thing he said. Matzaot shubafar permer, kaparatchem, adayim benikayam, etc. Lelam tachashkash aleim tarat, kelem yotem shvichut amim. What does that mean exactly? Boy, was it that shvichut amim hudazal av tarat kelim kerekayim akayma? Or is it that shvichut amim actually was kerekayim akayma taras kelim was, whoa, was so chomer. Toshma, benikonasi lo tamura v'gam dam naki shvak minasher. Shma mina that the problem is in terms of shvichut amim. Shvichut amim hudazal tarat kelim kerekayim akayma. Tan rabba. Upashat v'lavash begadim asunim. V'otzi et adeshem. So does that mean like shemani kiterach yom ha-kipurim? Meaning, poshet b'gdei kodesh in this context. V'lavash b'gdei chol? No. V'lomar, upashat et begadav, v'lavash begadim. So it means makish begadim shelavash begadim shepashet. Ma'al ha'alam b'gdei kodesh avkam b'gdei kodesh. Ah, then why mention acherim? To tell me, chutin mehem. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, omer, no. Acherim is referring to kohanim. Acherim v'otzi. Mi made al kohanim ba'alei mumin. Shekcherim l'otzi et adesh. V'lomar, acherim chutin mehem. Meaning exactly what? The Tanan very Rishma, Begadim should be shell bem ptira rabo, loim zog bem kos rabo. Omre shlokish ki machloke bot sa'at adesh, and kach machloke betrumat adesh. Rabbi Yochanan no, machloke bot sa'at. Baharama dibe akol avodai. My time, the reshlokish am lachavo. You think it's an avoda? Yesh kavodash kshirab shnek elin that only says over here, mido badu mikhase bad. Rabbi Yochanan, call it rachmana, diktat and mikhasein, but of course, what in the mitznevet vavne? Why bother mentioning these two? Because mido ba teaches us midok midato, mikhasei ba teaches us shloyedav akonu mikhasein, shemen mikhasei ba yavashu besoro. Reish lakish, still don't need to present it in that way. The word mido, midato, is already enough. Midat krakman ablashon mido, and as far as shloyedav akonu mikhasein, just tell me the word al besoro. It already said v'lavash. Ah, la'avim et snefet v'avneim, that they too, all four kelim are needed for a ramad of Rabbi Yehuda, which agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Dos, omer rabot b'gdei kohen gadol v'yom ha-kippurim shekcherim l'kohen et yod, which seems to be saying, you don't need four kelim. To which Rabbi responded, that's crazy, shtei tshuvot, but first of all, you can't even use an avnet of the kohen gadol v'yom kippur, which is pure bad, lo zo avnet shekohen et yod, so what would that mean? Furthermore, does it make sense? Said gom shishtamash v'em I'll tell you, and this basically is dependent on the machlokes about what v'inichum sham. V'inichum sham, according to the Tanakama, means shetunim genizan, they can't be used for anything else. Whereas Rabbi Dosa meru yinein lekoin hediot, the reason says v'inichum sham is only in respect to Yom Kippurim. Shlo yishtamish b'im Yom Kippurim achem. Now, so getting back to the machlokes here with Rabbi Yehuda, my labo can be forget. My sover avodai. Therefore, we need your bash to tell me that there's also the other two kelim. Umar sover lava vodain is not going to tell me that you need the other two kelim because you only need two. Because it's not really an avod, it's like the same as the hotzah. Because you're not necessarily kuli ama avodai. The only machlok is here. Achabal kamifke mar sover tzricha krala rabuye. Umar sover la tzricha krala rabuye. See you.